Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, Tom, if Vince McMahon wants $9 billion for WWE, I can think of no better way to secure that value than a Brock Lesnar-Omos co-featured main event at WrestleMania. But a lot of news coming out of this show as far as WrestleMania goes, or, you know, some good indications of where things are heading. Did that one surprise you?
Oh, yeah. A lot of other ones did not, and the card is shaping up in ways that I feel that they've been laying the groundwork for months. But, yeah, the DQ finish for Brock and Bobby at Elimination Chamber was not a surprise to me, because I thought, of course, they're going to – this has always been building to a no-DQ match between the two of them at Mania. Here we are on this path. And there's Omos, and I have seen all the same Omos stuff that other people have. I'm still not – quite as down on him as most seem to be, but you know, it is what it is, and it just feels so beneath Lesnar to be side by side in a WrestleMania graphic with him. I'm sure the idea is to elevate Omos, whether or not it's a win or a loss, but this does not feel like a Brock Lesnar WrestleMania match.
It makes me wonder, just based on kind of the path that we seem to have been on and where people understandably thought this was going, if Brock sort of had a reaction like to whatever was proposed for the Bray Wyatt match the way he did to the Dean Ambrose match, John Moxley has talked about, where, you know, Mox wanted to do a bunch of things and Brock said no. He told me about that in an interview with me, and I know he talked about it with Jericho too on his podcast. You know, you wonder if there's not a twist here, because, man, when and we'll talk to an outside correspondent in a bit here who is in the building. But the reaction to Bobby Lashley coming out didn't sound good to me. And I think his character's just been, like, all over the place, just so scattershot. I thought the last few weeks he was firmly heelish. I thought so. It seemed, like, obviously so. They were going for him to be the heel in the match with Lesnar. Oh, I'll have my people look at the contract, and I'm not going to enter the ring with you. You come to me. And then when he does, he you know, attacks Lesnar in kind of a cheap shot way. So, you know, of course they were aiming for Lashley to be booed, but now they want him to be cheered again because he's beating up Elias. It's all over the place. So it's just that aspect of this show came across to me as either poor planning, bad booking, or an alternate plan from what was, you know, like they're having to change course, and it's kind of clunky. Lesnar versus Omos, I'll just say, I'm fine with it in the sense that let's not waste someone against Lesnar if he's only going to give us 5-6 minutes. If he's basically wrestling like he gets paid $1 million per minute and WWE is trying to find ways to keep his matches short, and I'm not saying that's what his contract is, but it sure comes across that way a lot of the time, or that he gets paid per move and per bump, then yeah, put him against Omos and let him win or have him lose, wherever they are with him. I'm kind of over Lesnar until I see something more than what we saw Saturday. You know, in the Oshucks, Golly G, Country Boy is a fun character, but it's one that I just think needs to have, like, full-fledged matches and not, as a babyface, mule kick your opponent by DQ on purpose, and then we're supposed to forget that and just cheer him against Omos. Like, it's not that big of a deal in the big scheme of things, but I'm a little worked up over how just awful that finish in that match was, how short the match was, how it was a good start to a good match, but it was not a good match because it wasn't long enough. And then it ended with unfortunately with that low blow, with the role sort of reversed from what they were going in, and now we get this coming out of it, and I guess Lashley's going to take on Bray. He keeps dropping his name, even though Bray isn't really involved in Lashley and Lesnar in any way other than kind of online speculation. So, yeah, I just think it's a mess, Tom. Pick up any of those pieces and talk about them.
Oh, absolutely. And it would have been a mess getting to Bray versus whomever as well, because there's no clear path to a Mania match for him at this moment unless he's wrestling himself. So I mean, Lesnar versus Wyatt is something that I've wanted to see for a while, but I don't know what the story is, and the story that I would have wanted from it is certainly not he just randomly calls him out, and that's it. So it does seem like, you know, Lashley and Wyatt will be each other's leftovers on the mid-card of that show, even though it looked like both of them might have been headed towards something bigger for a brief second there. But, it really is just messy all around. You look at that Elias thing. Even Elias, I'm not sure exactly how we're supposed to be taking him these days.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I'm fine with him getting beat up instead of getting to do something. When Ziggler was advertised in a match with Ali, I thought, oh, the bell's not going to ring. Either Lesnar or Lashley is going to come out and interrupt this. And that instead happened with Elias, which, you know, honestly, looking back at the entire show, probably preferable. But, this is very messy, and it seems like they are just trying to make sure that, A, some of the people they've been investing in recently, in Lashley and Wyatt, are not left off the card entirely, and that there is a, quote, WrestleMania moment with the biggest F5 in history when Brock does that to Omos.
And like I said, if that's all we're going to get out of Lesnar, then Lesnar Omos is fine. I'd take that over a mule kick with a match people are looking forward to being epic instead of, you know, short and cheap. So I'm fine with that, and maybe they'll try to protect Omos. Maybe we'll find out they're going to use Lesnar to try to elevate Omos, because who knows? Maybe they're frustrated with Lesnar and what he's willing to deliver or what they can afford to pay him to deliver. But the follow-up to that mule kick, I was still upset about that finish, you know, from 2 days later. And their follow-up, you know, was Lashley coming out to almost no reaction and saying, you know, Lesnar was scared and his only out was that, and then it's time to move on and have an open challenge to someone else. Yeah, that was a weird part of the show to me. And again, I don't think a ton of people were anticipating Omos against Lesnar. I think there's part of the fan base, Tom, that will be intrigued by that match. I mean, I don't deny that part of the fan base exists. I think some people do, and Vince McMahon never has, and sometimes he's catered too much to that audience. But I think there still are people out there. I talk to casual fans and younger fans, and some of them are going to be like, oh, my God, that's going to be crazy. Omos is so big. What will Lesnar do? But Lesnar's a legacy act and a top, top star, and Omos is a project that, you know, doesn't look like it's going to be – he's not going to be in any way a full-time, week-to-week valuable player. You know, he's a special attraction – and so I don't know. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Absolutely. Yeah. I months ago, when it looked like they were doing a long tease for this to be Braun versus Omos, I was in favor of it, because even though it's not for me, I absolutely agree with that having a place, especially on a spectacle show like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
100% sign off on that. And that's fine for Braun. But the issue is that we're talking about Brock Lesnar here. A legitimate draw with a real legacy behind him. And yeah, you said it all there. So we've got five more weeks of this build.
Yeah. I do wonder if it's going to be Omos Lesnar. I mean, they're not going to do weekly buildup. That's just going to be something that they sort of mention in passing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, what, Ed Lesnar's going to come out and yell at MVP for 8 minutes of TV time? I mean, we might get that once, but we're not going to get this series like we're going to get with Heyman and Cody and eventually Reigns, where, you know, it's sort of this perpetual, you know, back and forth with different chapters. So, anyway, I mean, I don't even know what the, like, obvious biggest story of the show was, but that's one of them that jumped out to me in terms of WrestleMania developments, because as you said, a lot of this we kind of knew. You know, I mean, we figured certain things were going to happen. Although the women's tag team situation, also interesting. We'll get into that with Becky and Lita laying out a challenge and getting a title shot next week against Kai and Sky during the return of Ding Dong Hello. So let's save some of the other topics for after we introduce the show here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, February 20th, 2023. And I'm Wade Keller, the host of the program. Thanks for joining us today. The other voice you hear is Tom Stelp. He is a contributor to PW Torch. He is an NXT correspondent for many years and also a longtime host of the PWT Talks NXT program. Tom, what do you do now? Tell people.
Thank you. You know what? I am going to step outside the torch for the foremost portion of my plugs and say that I am now just one day removed
from a... Sorry. I
called him. He said
okay,
he had a bad
good.
Connection, but I'm gonna take it that he gave me the go-ahead here.
All right, good.
I am now one day removed from a brutal 10-day marathon. I do it every single year, but this one was especially hard. 9 days of stock car racing, a total of 10 days of work, very, very little sleep, and I film and edit the content that happens on the track, and I post it on Speedway Video on YouTube. So I'll leave that there. If anybody is interested in seeing what I've been breathlessly working away at for years, but especially really hard over the past week and a half,
yeah.
Speedway Video on YouTube. But indeed, on VIP on the Torch, which has been keeping me company on my commutes out to the racetrack, Kelly Wells had to fly solo on 8 years back this week, and he did a very, very nice job. That is typically a show I co-host along with him on Saturdays, talking about NXT, you know, 8 years back when, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were involved in a really deep storyline that played upon their history. So, you know, nothing new there. And once a month, you can hear me updating you on everything that I can glean from the lowest entry levels of WWE's developmental ranks on the VIP show Bonus Point.
Very cool. So go VIP to hear Tom on his two VIP podcasts and check out say the YouTube search or channel again.
Speedway Video, the most generic name I could think of because
yeah.
I wanted you to be able to hear it and know exactly what it was.
Yes, no ambiguity there. Excellent. All right, we got a lot more to talk about tonight's episode of Raw, follow-up to Elimination Chamber, and we invite you to join the conversation. So if you are live streaming the show tonight, consider yourself invited to call and push 1 on your keypad when you call. That flags you on our switchboard so we can bring you on. The number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. And when you call, push 1. You can also email us at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. We'll get to some emails later in the show as we progress. We are anticipating hearing from our on-site correspondent, we had somebody who's going to email us details. It looks like Lance is going to be giving us a call anytime now. So that should be good to hear what it's like in the building. It's been a wild weekend of crowd reactions in Canada. And so Ottawa, how do you think Ottawa did, Tom, in terms of keeping the momentum for Sammy and just the energy that Montreal brought Friday and Saturday?
Oh, I was very pleasantly surprised that energy maintained. And I think wise of WWE to do the Sammy thing first. And then it felt to me like a pretty standard show beyond that point, but the enthusiasm was still absolutely there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, great. So we'd love to hear from you and, either by email or phone call. By the way, tomorrow, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joins me on the flagship. It's been 4 weeks, not three. And we, welcome your input on the show, your questions, your comments in the mailbag. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning and you want to be part of the flagship, especially if you have something to say in response to what Tom and I and the callers say on today's show, but you can broaden that out to AEW topics and more. It is the flagship. All topics are on the table. Email the flagship in time for tomorrow afternoon's recording, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And then look for that show. You can download and listen on our Blue Logo show. The flagship will drop Tuesday night. So look for it there. Just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. That's Wade Keller. And you'll see the red logo and the blue logo pop up. Subscribe to both. They're both free. The post shows are red. The regular podcasts are blue. All right. So let's get to a phone call here. We'll go to Jay in Hartford, Connecticut. Jay, good to hear from you. Glad to see you showed up on the switchboard here. What are your thoughts on Raw tonight? Jay, you're there. We can't hear you. Are you muted? Let's try this again. Jay, are you there? Can you hear us? Jay, are you there? Not sure what's going on. Maybe there's a switchboard issue. In case there is, well, give us a call, 347-215-8558, and we'll see if this sorts itself out. In the meantime, I want to bring up the Cody Paul Heyman segment. Certainly, the main event of WrestleMania is Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes more than any other match, and so we should talk about that segment. And I wasn't crazy about it. I've been loving Paul Heyman lately. I've been really enjoying the Bloodline, and I think Cody's put in strong performances. I thought this was just okay, and I was a little worried. Maybe it's wise, but I was a little worried that Cody, that they don't trust Cody to do a long-form talking segment. Like, to interrupt him at the beginning and only give him a few words at the end makes me wonder what kind of confidence they have in him. And I don't, you know, I know Heyman was going for, well, do you really want to be champion? Because then you might be like your dad, an absentee father. That story's been played so much lately. AEW's doing it with the Billy Gun Boys thing. And I don't know. Like, it didn't really click with me. And it was maybe a mix of the delivery from Heyman being on a big screen sort of seemed to belabor the point, or not. It just wasn't particularly electric. There are aspects of it that I liked, and I love that he's still selling with the neck brace, the KO attack. And there's certainly things I like that Heyman said, but in the end, I was sort of like, I don't know. I'm excited to see Reigns and Cody square off. What was your take, Tom, on that?
Well, I mean, the never-ending gold mine that is Paul Heyman, just the stunner sell with his arms flailing and showing up with the neck brace, and then the mentioning her by name, but the Brandi Rhodes comment. All three popped to me. I'm just guffawing on my couch. But indeed, I mean, when you tapped me to co-host tonight, you said like, hey, it's probably going to be a pretty big Cody night, so be ready. And yeah, this was not what we were looking for, and I just ended up telling myself, all right, we got five more weeks. You know, I didn't love Heyman on the screen, and I didn't love Cody not getting to say all that much. So five more weeks. I mean, I thought Cody's, I don't know if I want to go as extreme as to use the word meta. It is an overused term, but you know, Cody's, just looking at the promotional business side of things and saying like, hey, you know, Roman, you and I probably are going to do the face-to-face thing, and we're probably going to do it real soon. I did appreciate that because, you know, yet again, we've got Heyman trying to make it personal when Cody's trying to keep it about business and championships. So we've got that little bit of a story there. But I think my bigger issues with the story are on the Sami Zayn side of things, and the absence of that from this part of it, because I was looking forward to seeing how Sammy's issues with the Bloodline and Cody's vying for the Roman's championship were going to communicate with one another. And they did briefly, but it seems like that conversation has ended. And I'm certainly not talking about adding Sammy to the main event, triple threat. I'm not talking about anything like that. I've always, anytime this subject has come up, I have said it needs to be one-on-one matches. We want to see Roman versus Sammy, Jay, Cody, all one-on-one, all separate. But I did think there would be a bit more interplay at this point, and it seems like what they're going for is clean break, and that is added to all my other issues with the situation on Sammy's side coming out of Elimination Chamber, but that's when we get into a different subject, so we can keep it on Cody for now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Sammy KO story is a whole other segment, and I want to have a whole conversation on that. So we don't leave our on-site correspondent waiting. Lance has already called in. So let's check our switchboard here again. Hope it's working. And we can start with the reaction to Cody in the building. Lance, can you hear us?
Oh, shoot. Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Hey, Lance.
Oh, hi. How are you doing,
Hello?
Wade?
Sounds like good. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk
to
you. Yeah, big fan of the show, obviously. Thank you. It's a long time, first time, as I said. So, great. So, we just got out, cut to the chase at the end of the show. Edge, well, you probably want to ask questions, but Edge had a really nice speech about, this is my last time in Ottawa, and, GDAM, thank you very much, and high fives for the kids and pictures and stuff like that. It was really a class act. So we're kind of touched by that, I think.
Yeah, so I want to talk some specifics, but let me ask a broad question first, which is just how, after watching Montreal go completely bonkers for Sammy and just WWE in general, talk about the size of the crowd in the arena tonight. They did a wide shot during the Edge Theory match during one of the two long mat holds, which is their thing to do. They cut to the wide shot during that, and it looked like an impressive crowd. Talk about the buzz in the building coming in. And then the ebbs and flows of the intensity of the crowd reaction during, and if there's anything more to say about the overall crowd enthusiasm, just go ahead with that.
Sure. So some of this is going to hurt me a little bit, but the crowd was ballistic before they went on, and there was a lot of woos. People were giving trying their best Ric Flair woo and really not hitting the mark. But it was really, when Sami Zayn came out, the roof just popped off the place, obviously. And I told the guys next to us, oh, yeah, Sami Zayn's got to come out for one more Canadian ovation. And he did just that. So it was really, really loud for Sami Zayn, like loudest I've ever heard the arena. Oh, and the attendance. If it was 95%, I'd have to say it was at least 95%. I've never seen anybody in the level 3 nosebleeds in all the times I've been to Ottawa. So a definite boost in crowd. I think people really wore themselves out for Sammy's intro. I don't know how it came across on television, but it started to wear out a bit during the match. Baron Corbin, just to get that out of the way, Sami Zayn got the most cheers by far, and Baron Corbin the loudest boos, but probably because of his position. But just like you, Wade, I'm a pretty big fan of Baron Corbin for being, that scumbag. The thing that hurts me, I like Dolph, and I really like Mustafa, but I think they were kind of worn out. I don't know how that came across on TV, so really not a lot of noise for that one. Edge was incredible at the end. So my daughter and I, since I'm a biased Rollins guy, my daughter and I talked about it, and she felt the same way, that in order it was Zayn, then Edge, then Seth, who had a very sustained cheer, and then Cody. And there were some, I heard some of your talk while I was desperately trying to get connected, and there were a couple of Cody detractors for sure in our area. And I wouldn't be surprised. I saw some thumbs down in other areas. So, but still, I mean, a lot of, most of the merch was Cody that was sold. A lot of weightlifting belts carried around by guys I'm pretty sure aren't going to ever lift weights anytime. And that was the ongoing joke. But anyway.
That's funny. Elaborate a little more on the Cody response, because a couple detractors, that's no big deal. They'll weather that. But
yeah.
did you sense otherwise, that you say it's the fourth best reaction of the night? Is it close to the best? Is it near Seth, or is there a drop off with him that where it shows he's got some work to do, or maybe Ottawa's not his town? And I just couldn't tell on TV, so it's just a genuine question.
Honestly, I think it was Edge. First Sammy, then Edge, then a big drop off to Seth and to Cody. I think Cody and Seth were in the same ballpark, and I had to ask my daughter here, is it just because I like Rollins so much and Cody so little? No offense, I do respect him. He's a great performer, but he's not my guy. I would say that it was discernible, but not that big of a difference between Cody and Seth, but it was a big drop off from Sammy and Edge, of course.
How did the crowd react to such a long segment of Cody standing in the ring that consisted of him looking at the big screen and listening to Heyman talk? Because 85-90% of that promo, maybe that's understating it, was Heyman. Was the crowd just on the edge of their seat and into it, or did you sense any restlessness?
I sensed a lot were into it, but it was very silent as it was hard to hear Paul Heyman. There was something wrong with the audio. So I think people were just quiet trying to hear Paul. It's true. I don't think they gave Cody the ball to run with it. I mean, I'd like to see Cody succeed. I'm not ready to accept him beating Roman at WrestleMania. I don't want that. Don't want that to happen. I don't think he's the guy, but you know, he's definitely one of the top tonight anyway, other than the big Canadian favorites, which of course were Sammy and Edge. But yeah, I'd say people were really soaked into Heyman's promo. I mean, he was quite hilarious with that neck brace, taking me back to JBL and the neck brace and the cowboy hat on top. I really enjoyed that.
Very good. Let me bring Tom Stump into the conversation here. Tom, do you have a question for Lance?
Lance, you're from Ontario. Do you share your name with a certain type of weather event?
Do I? Am I? Is there a hurricane, Lance, I'm not aware of? No. I missed it.
Yeah,
a weather event.
He used to work the territories.
Well,
I've got to ask about.
Yeah, I'm storming all right. Yeah, I don't quite have his charisma, but I'm working on it.
You'll get there one day.
I'll get
About three, four words, Lance. Are you talking? I was like, are we sure this isn't Lance Storm? The Canadian accent.
Yeah.
But the more you talk, the more.
I don't know what you're talking about. anyway, so I was very pleased, obviously, but I actually, because Seth was there, but my daughter is a huge Rhea Ripley mark, and unfortunately, we just got the video there, but people were soaking that in too. Yeah. But we would have really liked to see Rhea Ripley out there for sure. But I was worried that she'd wind up on SmackDown with Charlotte, post Elimination Chamber.
Well, that's very astute of you. I was wondering about that, but I do have to ask, same thing that got asked on the SmackDown post show about the Sammy energy, not during the show, not during his appearance, but when you're heading into the building, when you're walking the concourse, was it a Sammy madhouse with people chanting for him the whole way? Or had that part of it kind of died down and it was only really confined to when he was out there on TV?
When he was out there on TV, I was telling the guys next to us, hey, I think Sammy's going to show up. You know, it's Canada. I know he's a SmackDown guy, but they sort of destroyed the whole brand thing a while ago. The brand split a long time ago. I thought he'd get one more round of cheers. But honestly, they were wooing. They were doing Ric Flair woos rather poorly, a lot of them, over and over again. So it was all woos up until the first curtain. I like to throw in that I wondered what they do when they're running commercials. So they had Do Your Best DX impersonation and that sort of thing. I've never seen so many 7 and 8 year olds crotch chopping in my life, but that was part of the entertainment. There was a razor, do the Rock's eyebrow. There was a dancing thing, and if you want to be seen exclusively inside the arena on the big screen, then I guess that's how you do it. But it was mostly kids they were capturing doing that, and for good reason, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I also am curious about the reaction to Lita. Just my impression through the television screen is that it was not super explosive, but what did you hear?
I thought it was quite loud, but I'm going to ask, again, I like Lita, so I'm going to ask my daughter here. Did it sound loud for Lita when she came in to you?
Yeah, it was pretty loud.
Yeah, it was loud. It wasn't, again, she wouldn't be in the top four, like I mentioned. And there were main event tapings as well I can get into a little later on, but I don't want to spoil that for anybody. I'll throw a minor spoiler if that's okay, that there were no NXTs, and I was desperately hoping that we'd get a Cameron Grimes or something like that because he's been MIA for so long. I was kind of hoping he'd show up in the main event, but that didn't happen. So another minor disappointment on my part.
That is the final question that I wanted to throw at you, and I looked it up ahead of time, and I too was disappointed to see that we didn't get any NXT appearances. I'm guessing last time they tried to bring people to Canada from NXT, it did not happen. They could not cross the border. I don't know if they just decided to leave that alone this time or what, but were the matches at least all right?
They were quite good, actually, pretty entertaining. Akira Tozawa. I'm not going to give winners away, of course. I would never do something like that. But Akira Tozawa against, so now I got to remember who that was. I'm sorry. Oh, and it's on my other phone, on my phone. But it was Akira Tozawa, wrestling, let's see. It's on, I got it here. Do you want to know about the main event?
Yeah. Yeah, people can fast forward for 30 seconds if they want to avoid details.
Okay, well,
we get in there for a warning.
Sorry. Cedric Alexander pinned Akira Tozawa, and MVP was out there. MVP got a nice pop, by the way. He actually got a pretty good pop for a supposed villain. Candice LeRae and Mia Yim went up against Tamina and Dana Brooke, and, of course, Candice and Mia took it because they're the noobs. They're the newer ones, so... They're the flavor of the month, I guess. But I was rooting for Dana and Tamina, of course. But well, that was good. The other thing is, this is the biggest audience I've ever seen in Ottawa. It could be because it's a taping, but I was back when DX and Sergeant Slaughter were feuding back in the day, and this even felt bigger. There were people in the 300s, and those are the nosebleeds. And I've never, like I said, never seen anybody in the nosebleeds. I think they blocked off the section behind the WrestleMania sign, and up around the hard cam. I actually bought our tickets because I thought they were on the hard cam side. That's what it looked like in the diagram. But we ended up seeing posteriors all night. But it was still good where we were. I mean, few wrestlers acknowledge the non-hard cam side, but a lot of them do play to the hard cam quite a bit. But so we didn't quite get the experience. We got to see the back end of the door for the hello, the ding dong hello segment, of course. So
oh yeah, of course.
yeah. So we had these TVs way up where across from the 300s. You can watch in case you want to see what you should be seeing, sort of thing. So yeah, and good pops. I mean, I think the crowd really threw a lot into the Sami Zayn chants at the beginning. I honestly think it kind of wore them down just a wee bit. They were quiet for a couple of matches, but then definitely picked up for Rollins and The Miz. And I don't know if I mentioned The Miz got tremendous boos. It was he did really well. And Corbin, of course, was just he was the heat magnet of the night for sure, just for attacking our beloved Sami Zayn.
The crowd booed Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was booed in Canada,
yes.
And he's essentially a babyface at this point. But
correct.
That shows how popular Sami is. I think storyline-wise, it makes sense that KO wouldn't just immediately cave in. You know, not a cave-in's not the word. There's a better phrase than that. But, like, just sort of immediately forgive Sami for all transgressions and all their issues. I think it's more believable. Yeah. But it did lead to some awkwardness in terms of the crowd not being happy with KO. I think, you know,
absolutely.
Owens will be just fine. And you know, this will play out in a way where, you know, eventually they team up against the Usos. But talk a little bit about that dynamic and the reaction to KO when he came out. And then, you know, your sense of in the building, the crowd reacting to KO the way that they did when he turned down, just instant forgiveness to Sami.
I would put KO just under Cody, maybe except for the first 30 seconds or so. But when KO, you know, quote unquote, he didn't turn on Sami, but he turned his back on Sami, didn't believe the enemy of my enemy, sort of thing. And the crowd deflated and they booed him right away. And that's probably not the greatest booking decision, but I guess you don't know until you give it a go. Canadians, I guess, are more passionate about Sami, but I'm a real Kevin Owens guy. I really loved him as Kevin Steen and ROH. And I don't know why they would turn so quickly. I mean, they've got a few weeks till WrestleMania. They don't need to get them, you know, buddy-buddy so early. But, yeah, I thought that was not the greatest booking decision. But speaking of booking decisions, boy, did people get deflated around me when they heard about Brock Lesnar and, of course, almost there. That was something. Because we were talking, okay, maybe a rematch.
I ranted a little bit at the top of the show over that. I don't know for sure that'll be the WrestleMania match, but, you know, if it is, it says something about WWE's, I guess, I guess we have to see it play out. But, you know, if they don't think they can just get Lesnar to agree to do a full-fledged match that won't leave people sort of feeling empty, then you might as well feed him Omos.
Yeah, might as well. But that was, I mean, that's going to be pretty horrible, I think. it's not going to be a very good match. I was actually hoping for, I was really hoping for Brock and Gunther. That was a bit of a rumor. And maybe there's still hope for that. But not.
That's
but
the
almost,
thing.
If you were going to pay, Brock's salary, would you pay him to, you know, to bring in a crowd to see him fight? Almost, I don't think so. But I shouldn't talk negatively, but you know, I'm not a big almost guy.
To me, I think Omos is a better opponent for Lesnar now than Gunther, because I think Gunther against Lesnar should mean a lot when it happens. And I just don't think this WrestleMania lineup is the place for it. You know, I mean, if Lesnar was on his last two matches, I'd have Gunther beat him. You know, I mean, I'd just, you know, build a match up, get something out of it. But I just don't know if it's ripe. What do you think about that, Tom?
Yeah, I agree with you. There are certain situations like that, and like with Seth Rollins right now, where it's like when Logan Paul eliminated Seth from the Rumble, like, oh, okay, that'll probably be the Mania match. But you know what? When I look up and down everything, that's probably a pretty favorable landing spot for Seth compared to, you know, anything else that he could have realistically gotten. So I'm in favor of it. And I think I don't know who Gunther's opponent will be, but I would agree that it should be that particular matchup should be a more immense deal when it happens. But hey, so far so great with Gunther. They're really putting a lot behind him, and he is the special kind of talent that that they should do that with. So thumbs up there.
Not in their pay grade, but I would have actually booked Gunther to defeat Brock Lesnar for the for the Intercontinental title is what I would have done. But that's just me, because I don't know how many Brock has left in him, of course. So that's
I'm saving Brock and Gunther for when it can be monumental and like a main event match, where you can either commit to Gunther beating Brock within 4 or 5 minutes, if that's the longest Brock wants to work, or make it this epic match that's main event worthy. I don't want that on the undercard. Like I think that's the sort of promoter in me talking more than the fan. I mean, yes, it'd be fun to see it sooner and not have delayed gratification, but for it to mean the most for Gunther, I want him to win, and I want the feud to be one of the top, you know, 2-3. I want that match to be one of the top 2-3 matches whenever, if it's on a WrestleMania, and the top match on any non-WrestleMania show.
I just put it on the main event of night one, but that's why I'm not looking for them. So there you go. And your comments about Logan Paul earlier, I mean, I really, you know, he does a great job. I can't stand him. And I thought Seth being my favorite, I didn't want Seth and him, but boy, I'm looking forward to it, because that guy is kind of a freak athletically. He can really produce Logan Paul. So I think they'll put on a real they could have match of the night at WrestleMania for sure, in my opinion.
Was there anything that surprised you in terms of crowd reaction tonight, good or bad, either for main eventers or lower card wrestlers? Like, you know, Bronson Reed got a great reaction or no reaction, or Chad Gable was mega over.
There.
Anything along those lines?
Bronson Reed got a great reaction. My daughter asked me who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, and I said, well, I think they're both bad guys. Last I saw, Bronson was a bad guy, and so was Chad Gable. I like them both. So does that really, to be honest with you, the crowd died halfway through the Sami Zayn Sami Zayn match with Corbin. I was really surprised there. It sort of really died down, but I guess they just got exhausted with chanting and singing for the first 7 or 8 minutes or so. Again, I was surprised. I really thought I do like Dolph, along with the twerking and everything, whatever. But I like him and Mustafa, and it was so quiet. I thought there would have been a bigger. So let's see, good reactions. Candice LeRae kind of surprised me. She seemed to get a good reaction. Anything get your attention, Louise? No. Yeah, Candice LeRae. Edge didn't. Austin Theory got a really good negative reaction. Like he definitely did better than I thought he would. But that's another thing. Austin Theory was bad mouthing the crowd during the commercial, telling people to shut up, and he was engaging the crowd during the commercials, and not a lot of them do that, you know. Asuka and Nikki. I found it to be really quiet. I don't know how it came across on TV, but Asuka's a big star, and I would have thought that she would have gotten a bigger pop. Again, it could have been Ottawa exhaustion or whatever. I had a friend who knew Carl DeMarco back in the day, and Carl said, Ottawa is a quiet town, damn you. You guys are not loud enough. But, you know, I think they really came through tonight, but with those odd exceptions I just mentioned. Yeah, I didn't hear a lot for Asuka or Nikki, actually, either. So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if fans are sure how to react to Asuka at this point. That's part of it. What was the reaction for Lashley like?
Lashley, oh my gosh, it was loud. Yeah, that was a pretty good one too. I still put it under Cody, but it was pretty loud. I mean, people didn't expect them to necessarily come out. I thought we were going to get, I was afraid we were going to get Boogs versus versus Elias for a second there. But no, Lashley, Lashley, put, he surprised us. And at first, he got a, he did get a, he did get a babyface reaction probably against Elias, but then I guess I don't remember his promo exactly, but I think he got a little cocky there for a second, and maybe he got a few boos. He definitely was trying to turn the crowd. I think he did do a pretty decent job with that. I don't wish I could remember exactly how, but he did some, you know, he was a bit mouthy, I think. He's supposed to be a heel, right? So they had a couple of face-face matches, a couple of heel-heel matches, and it kind of threw me off a bit, trying to explain to my daughter who's who here, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy.
Did Tom, there was no Lashley promo on TV, was there?
Oh, no. So, it's a bad thing that I don't remember, huh?
Yeah, well Lance, you're saying Lashley talked?
Yeah, didn't he talk? I thought he talked. He talked about...
Well, it could have been during the commercial, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think he did during a commercial. Either that or I'm thinking of another event, but I could have swore he said something.
Yeah.
But do you remember release or no?
Yeah.
No, we don't remember. It was unmemorable.
Fair enough. No problem. I've been there.
I think the crowd did turn on him a little bit towards the end. I thought, I don't know, and I don't know what's next for Lashley. Is it him and Bray Wyatt now, or what's going on there? I guess we'll find out. Since we got the treat of Brock Lesnar and Almas there, we'll see if we're going to get that from Lashley.
Yeah, it seems like what's left is that, and he dropped his name again.
Yeah.
Was there anything else after the show other than Edge cutting, you know, talking to the fans?
No, that's it. Well, I mean, Finn did his thing, but I'd have to say, and I don't want to be it to that, but Austin Theory, like you said, he's a student of the game, and he really picked it up during the commercials. I really liked him jawjacking the fans. I didn't hear exactly what he was saying, but it was a hoot. He involved in, you know, both Edge and Austin Theory kind of acknowledged us in the back there behind the hard cam. So that was kind of neat because not all wrestlers did that necessarily.
And again, I
was really shocked. And maybe you're right. They don't know what to think of Asuka because she's fighting, you know, the heroic Bianca Belair. But I was surprised by the lack of reaction for Asuka because I'm a big Asuka fan. But there wasn't much there. Not tonight, anyway. Could have been worn out by all the other cheering. Yeah.
Tom, is there anything else you want to ask Lance before we let him go? Oh, go ahead, Lance. You've got another thought. Go ahead.
And I just totally agree with you guys. That's one thing I was going to say when we dialed in with my daughter's phone, which is working while mine isn't. The whole Cody thing felt really awkward. It was, you know, I don't know what it felt like to you folks, but I thought it was 90% Heyman and 10% Cody, basically. And I don't know if it's a lack of confidence in Cody or we're in Sammy Town, so let's not keep Cody on too long. But I suspect he'll get a bigger promo, moving forward, probably next Raw, if not sooner, but probably Raw.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you don't want Cody talking for 10 minutes every week, but I also don't know if you want him out there just, you know, standing by silently while Heyman talks either. For that larger percentage of time. But, you know, we'll see. So, Tom, I heard you. Any closing question or anything for Lance?
Well, briefly, I agree about Asuka. Of course, I've said many times I adore her, but they really do have some work to do to heat that up. I have a guess, but maybe we'll get there. I'm not super confident after tonight and after they plastered the graphic across the screen a couple times. But, no, Lance, you've been extremely informative. The only other thing I'll add here is from Wade's report tonight, Lashley walked out and slammed Elias. He said afterward that everybody is scared of him. Blah, blah, blah. There are several sentences.
There
so he did
know,
speak, and none of us...
All right.
Yeah.
I even forgot that. It didn't feel like a promo, but you're right. Now that you say that, it triggers my memory of him actually having a mic in his hand.
And frankly, my daughter was more admiring the musculature of his back to probably pay attention to what he was saying. So there was that, too. So we got a lot of Lashley's back where we were. So maybe that threw us off. Who knows?
There you go. Excellent. Well, Lance, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Is there anything, any spoilerish stuff for main event that you didn't get to that we want to warn people about, or do you think pretty much cover that?
just the main event stuff, you know, I'm bummed out. I was really hoping for some NXT talent, but like you said, maybe us Canadians aren't very friendly with those crossing the border, according to Jim Cornette anyway. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's why we don't see any NXT talent, but I was really pumped. I wanted to see the Creed brothers or, the Golden Grail, which would be Cameron Grimes, but you have no idea what's happened to Cameron, right? I don't want to extend my call here, but I miss him, and I miss when he was the furry little guy that, you know, to the moon, the swamp guy. He was a lot more fun like that. So, all right. Well, thanks, guys. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks very much for having us.
Absolutely. Great job. We'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I like that. Thank you very much. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. Longtime VIP member. Never talked with Lance before. Great to have him as our on-site correspondent tonight. We had Ottawa came through. We actually turned down on-site correspondents who were willing to come on. But I was like, well, Lance is excited. We don't want anyone to step on his toes when he comes in first as a longtime VIP member. We did get a written note from Larry from Gatineau, Quebec. I like to give – it's across the river from Ottawa. So Gatineau, I think I'm saying that close to correctly, Mark Gastineau. So he's got some notes, too. So we'll do this since we're on the topic, and then we'll get to other things I want to talk about from the actual TV show. But he said, this was my first live Raw event since November 10th, 1997. Wow. And it's the Raw the day, and it was the Raw the day after the Montreal Screwjob. That's crazy. He says, over a quarter century later, Ottawa would again be reacting to a Montreal Screwjob perpetuated against a Canadian wrestling hero. This time, though, entirely scripted and less infamous. But I was hoping you'd nonetheless electrify the Ottawa fans tonight, like in 1997, with fingers and toes crossed that Sammy, Roman, and the Usos would all appear to fan the flames. And we got Sammy and KO. Not bad. At the same time, I was admittedly nervous about how hot the Ottawa crowd would be tonight. Not only were we following the Red Hot Elimination Chamber event, but Ottawa is a bureaucratic town famous for its lawn chairs at AC/DC concerts. I love that. And for hockey games, where fans of opposing teams frequently out-chant local Senator fans. Ottawa can match the raw energy of a boisterous Montreal or Toronto crowd, but rarely for sustained periods. I love him just throwing Ottawa under the bus here. Actually, he's not throwing them under the bus. They're just a different mentality. Lots of fans seem to have carried over from SmackDown and Elimination Chamber, which surely helped. Energy during the opening segment and final hour was high. The second hour, not as much. People I spoke with in the arena also didn't know what to expect with only two matches announced, Ziggler versus Ali and Edge versus Theory. What more could you want? I felt there was a 50-50 chance of a B-show without Roman, Sammy, and the Usos, while WWE took a breather before turning the spotlight to Cody and Roman in their road to WrestleMania. So overall, I felt we got something in the middle. The show seemed to meet most fans' expectations. Attendance, he says. At 7 p.m., there were only 25 tickets remaining per online ticket sites, but easily over 500 empty seats in the third level. The arena normally seats over 18,000. About one half was closed off behind the stage or tarped off upper decks. The biggest pops of the night went to Sammy. But after that, it was Edge and KO, no surprise. And then Cody, who got a high percentage of heel heat, too. Seth had sustained fan support throughout, as did Becky. The most heel heat goes to Austin Theory, who got the only FU chance of the night, while Corbin got a combo of kayfabe and go-home heat. Many fans dismayed that Sammy has been downgraded to a feud with Baron. Ugh. I don't know if that's a feud. It's just a way to give him a win. The weakest reactions were for Bayley and Damage Control until Becky came out. Crickets during the early part of the Ding Dong Hello segment. Things you might not have seen on TV. The crew switched out the canvas after Asuka drooled the green mist. Edge addressed the crowd after I went off the air, stating, if this is the last of Edge in Ottawa, thank you. Seven wrestler t-shirts were on sale. Sammy, Owen, Seth, Edge, Usos, Bray, and Cody. He says, I observed the merch table for 10 minutes. The top seller, Sammy. The second, KO, and Edge. I did not witness a single purchase of a Cody or Bray shirt, although the Cody belt did get a few sales. Best regards, Wade. So some additional details there from Larry. Good email report. By the way, we invite people who can't be on the show for any reason after they attend. Send us a report like that also by email if you attend a Raw, Dynamite, or SmackDown. That was a helpful supplement, a useful supplement to our phone correspondence. So I know some of you are phone shy, or you've got to get home, or it's a short ride, or you don't want to talk in the car, whatever. But feel free to throw an email together for us after shows too, and we can get them on the show on a timely basis. Tom, any reaction to what Larry from Gatineau, Quebec, had to say.
Well, the on-site correspondents are really coming through to such great informative analysis here. I think because it's been bursting off my chest since I watched Elimination Chamber on delay, I think this is where I squeeze it in, because it is sad that, and I don't think they did it because they were in Montreal this time, but it is sad that the word screw job can be fairly applied to what went down on Saturday. I really, really thought that, and it's not just because we recently watched NXT Rival for 8 years back, and Kevin Owens spent 15 minutes just mercilessly beating the tar out of Sami Zayn, ripping him away from doctors that were trying to attend to him until the match had to be ended by stoppage to award KO the title, while Sami got a couple hope spots in here and there. But what I just described is what I thought was going to happen at Elimination Chamber. Sami is an incredible, incredible talent. No one will deny that. But he has not been shown to be at the level of Roman Reigns throughout his main roster career. And while the story was incredible, the end game of this particular chapter is Roman and Cody at WrestleMania. And Roman's the cool heel. So what better way to get insane heat on him than to have him just utterly destroy Sami? And the biggest issue, there have been a few, but the biggest issue with the Bloodline storyline going back longer than a year now is the fact that Roman constantly gets people getting visual pins over him while the ref is down, or constantly needs interference to beat people, whether they're his most fierce of opponents, like Brock at SummerSlam, or whether it's Finn Balor and the rope breaks and that's why Balor loses, or Kevin Owens. All due respect, I love KO too, but nobody thought that he was going to win, and I guess there was an interference in that one, was it? Drew McIntyre. It constantly, Roman does not look like the dominant champion that we are supposed to believe he is. And this was an opportunity to give him his most dominant win yet and just get absolutely disgusting heat from the crowd. And they threw in two ref bumps, the second of which didn't even make sense. They threw in the mistaken, oops, I attacked Jay instead. Something else in there that I'm not even remembering. They just threw every conventional thing. Oh, the post-match attack where the babyfaces get to stand tall after all. And I'm just like, you're minimizing what you could have gotten out of this. This was a huge, huge moment, and people really wanted Sami to win, but this isn't the end of this story. And I can't believe that today it is where it is, where Sami looked like he should have won. I could rant on and on, but I had to get at least some of that off of my chest. That I personally really felt that they missed the moment on Saturday.
And so I think it's implied in a lot of what you said, but lay out what you think would have been better, taking into account the value and the potential distraction or undercutting of what they want to do with Cody and their belief in Cody and the work that might be needed to get Cody over at the level that they are hoping they can via the Roman Reigns WrestleMania main event setting.
Yeah. And you know, it's tough because you want people to accept Cody as the hero who can stop the tyrant. So that is delicate, and it's a situation where I'm glad I'm not the one holding the pencil, but you know, if Sami just gets beaten down, and again, he can get some hope spots, you want to give at least that much to the crowd. But he looked so competitive against Roman. And sure, there's the detail to the Bloodline storyline, which I think Roman is actually performing very, very nicely, that the walls are crumbling around him, that the Bloodline is falling apart, and it's starting to rattle him a little bit. So there's that. But Sami looked every bit Roman's better here, and I feel if this underdog hero that we wanted to win just got utterly destroyed, no do not bleed Cody over into that moment. Don't have him come out there. Maybe have KO come out and cradle Sammy to go off the air or something. But I don't know. That doesn't really work for KO, especially with what they did today, which I thought was nice, and we'll get to it. But
yeah.
But you do want part of Cody's response today to be that he is, like, maybe, okay, here we go. Roman, by continually sicking Heyman on Cody, has failed to shake Cody's resolve by making it personal. Because that's the reason Roman would want to do that, would be to take Cody's eye off the ball. But what Roman would have done in my scenario to Sammy at Elimination Chamber, especially after the conversation that Sammy and Cody shared on Raw last week, that made it personal. And now Cody is going to use the phrase of the season, finish the story. There's an idea for you.
We had both Sammy and Cody talking about finishing a story and a story continuing. I don't know if that was just a slip up by Cody because he was paying attention to Sammy's promo and it just sort of blurted out, or if that's a new thing WWE's going to be writing into promos, that we still have more of a story to tell. It feels a little meta. Doesn't have to, you know, I mean, people talk in first person about my story, you know, in various ways, but it's not something I feel like is common in wrestling, and to have both of them bring it up on one show, you know, was noteworthy, I think. Well, let me get to an email that hits a number of bullet points here, and this is from somebody who's never interacted with us before. It's Kevin T. He says, long-time listener, first time interacting. And so he's got a number of thoughts, and it can be a conversation starter. One, he said, Sammy is a star and is super over. Tom, short answer, should they, because of what happened in the last month or so with Sammy, or heck, the last 10 months, call an audible on Cody and had this match in Montreal be a setup for a rematch one-on-one, especially with all the shenanigans? And should they have just gone for a summer of Sammy after he beats Roman at Mania, or at least get a Mania match out of Sammy? And you can take into account their response to Cody tonight, you know, which multiple people have said, and I think we observed on TV, is not, you know, megastar.
Yeah, short answer, absolutely not. Slightly longer answer. The atmosphere was incredible, and I just don't feel like that's the story that they are going for, and especially after you've put this many years into building this Roman Reigns championship and then transferring all of that into whomever, whether it's Cody, whether it's Jay, whomever ends up beating him for the championship, you don't call an audible on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I am not hedging or changing my opinion that Cody's worth the risk of not capitalizing on what special you have with Sammy. That said, if Cody blows out his ACL, or, well, I shouldn't list all the body parts that can break on him. He's in his late 30s. It's a growing list as you get older. But if something goes wrong with Cody in the ring or on a workout or climbing into the ring, we're on like the anniversary of Vince blowing out his quad simply entering a ring, then...
I listened to that flashback recently.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's 18 years, but still. If Sammy is ready and waiting in the wings, if they need him, you know, like... If they have to call, you know, make a change, Sammy can step in and it'll be WrestleMania worthy. And a lot of people will be happier with him than Cody. I think business-wise, it makes sense to put Cody in that spot, in part because I think Cody needs it. I don't think Cody's going to be a big star unless he's treated and framed like a big star and gets that big WrestleMania moment. And I think he's worthy of it, even if Sammy is a more fan-friendly pick at this point. The only reason I say short answer is Kevin has 15 points. So I want to do rapid fire because you and I You and I can do 10 minutes on each of these.
Let's rapid fire it.
Number two, having said, and he's a longtime listener, first time emailer. So I want to give him a chance to get his points in. And there's some compelling topics here. Having Sammy chase KO to help take down the bloodline is interesting. And I do like this, Tom. I like that. I said it. KO didn't just go, oh yeah, Sammy's all forgiven. Kevin Owens is a sophisticated, nuanced character in WWE. And not every month and not every chapter of his story in WWE has been smooth and perfect, but he is really good at what he does. And he can play the nuanced character, sort of the hard to get partner in this. And I think that's the right story to tell, especially when you've got this number of weeks before Mania. Your thoughts?
This is an echo of their title feud that I was referencing from 8 years ago, where KO denies that any of it is personal, and he is just chasing goals that he knows he can achieve through fighting. And I love the classic hero's refusal. It's a literary technique that, even when I say that, I'm sure that a lot of listeners know what I'm talking about. But KO, we know he's going to end up in that match. We know he's going to be our hero here, or you know, partners with our hero. But saying no to it first and then needing to be drawn in makes the journey more interesting and makes us more invested in it.
Agreed. Number three, is Baron Corbin not turning babyface? Yeah, I mean, I think logically some people thought that the way JBL dumped him and he was the sad, semi-sympathetic character. I don't know if sympathetic can be used in the same sentence with aimed at Corbin or not, but I mean, as sympathetic as he can get, because he seems so sad by how mean JBL was to him, but I am glad they're not flying JBL around the country. It's not good for the environment to fly if you're not needed. And JBL is not needed. So it's, you know, JBL's probably not going to do a lot for the environment based on his politics, but sitting him at home is his contribution to not wrecking it, taking up an airplane seat. I'm fine with Corbin in this role. I think as just sort of upper mid-card heel who can do a quick TV one-off with someone and lose, but had that loss put over the babyface in a credible way. You know, I thought it was good to just give Sammy a feel-good win. And no, I don't think Corbin is turning face right now. Maybe the story arc leads there, but tonight kind of steered me away from thinking that's where they're going. How about you?
I personally liked cool babyface Corbin while it lasted, but he really found himself as this dismissive heel. And I said to you when this connection first started that I felt Corbin JBL was intended to guide Corbin back to being a little bit more of an edgier, more threatening character. And I don't know if we're there yet, but it's an improvement. And I do believe that this was the intended result of the JBL connection. And I, even though splitting from JBL implies babyface turn, I never thought that that is what Corbin would be doing, because he really is just so much better implemented as a heel.
It says the ending to the Sammy Corbin match was blah, but I like the idea that Corbin was the last person to pin Roman. Great visual. That's fine. Is that good, by the way? Do we have to have Roman just like destroy Corbin before Mania, because Corbin keeps talking about being the last guy to beat him? It seems like Roman would want to shut him up. The problem is that'd be a babyface move, and that would not be helpful to Cody. Fans are cheering Reigns in this storyline.
Good point. I was worried they were going to show the replay of it, because we should not see Roman's shoulders on the mat with a three being counted, if it is a flashback. I was kind of hoping that somebody would say, like, yeah, that was back in 2019. And I think somebody maybe did on SmackDown or last time it came up or whenever that was. But I don't know. Yeah, you have a point.
All right. Then he says we're on you know what? He has two number threes. So we actually have 16 points, not 15, because he miscounted. The ending to the Sammy Corbin match was blah, but I like the idea that Corbin was the last. Oh, I already read that. See, this is confusing about these two number threes. All right. Mark number four, but it's actually number five. I do not like Edge and Beth referred to as the grit couple. I agree. I think it isn't. I get why Edge introduced it. You know, we're grit. That's our adjective. That's what we show. I get it, but it's not catchy. I don't think it's particularly marketable. I liked Edge's promo tonight, by the way. I think that's the Edge I want. The veteran, the sage veteran, kind of how Christian portrayed himself when he arrived in AEW. Except with Edge, it applies more. Just the guy who's sort of above it all. He's been there. He's seen it.
What a backhand to Christian.
Well, I mean, Christian was unintentionally turning heel in that moment because Christian is an Edge. I like Christian, but he's not Edge. Edge is Edge. And Edge does come across as a guy who, when he walks down the hallway, to quote Christian, people look at him and want to get lined for his advice, want his thoughts on their career and what they should do next and all that stuff, instead of instead of unintentionally bad dad jokes or the grit couple or this sort of performative, over-the-top, for your army consideration, pensive baby face or put-on heel promos. I just – I like Authentic Edge, and this felt like Authentic Edge tonight. Great Couple is fine as sort of an aside, but I don't want it to be the thing that they're called. Tom.
I agree with you about Edge's promo, and Grit Couple doesn't bother me to the extent that it bothers you, but I certainly don't love it. I think that it was fine when Edge and Beth were feuding with the It Couple, and that's why they started calling themselves the Grit Couple, because it made sense for that feud, and then it should have just been left in that feud.
Number six, I know Austin Theory issued an open challenge on the Elimination Chamber press conference, and Edge accepted. During his press conference, they should show that instead of just showing the graphic. They did, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so, Kevin, sorry, but I should have just eliminated that since, you know, we didn't want to show you up or anything. But it's easy to miss stuff like that. All right, number seven. Really
like
looking,
Bobby Lashley's promo.
Yes, although I typed up the details on it, but it didn't feel like a promo. It felt like comments at the end, not a promo, but you know, we're split hairs there. Whereas I'm just trying to cover for myself here. All right. It's really looking like Cena versus Theory at WrestleMania. Yeah. I mean, there's like, why are people talking about Cena returning a couple weeks instead of talking about me as the forever champ? So clearly that's where they're heading. And good. I think that's a very good match. I think it's one of the smarter matches at WrestleMania. I think Theory and Cena feels very natural, and it's a way to elevate Theory. In fact, just in the latest Way Keller hotline for VIP members, because we're, for people who don't know, on the VIP side of things, you get all these shows with the ads and plugs removed, but we have a ton of other fresh new content that is VIP exclusive. But we also are running our original podcast series, dating back as far as our hard drive storage goes, back to 2003. Now we've been doing that. Now we're into 2005, 18 years ago this month. And we just put up a Keller hotline where I laid out the insider information that I was given on the game plan to try to project to WWE fans that John Cena was a breakout crossover star, that they were investing in him, that my Keller hotlines and some of the other VIP shows, it's all about the early John Cena, the trepidation. Is this the right guy? Is he good enough? Here's where he's talented. Here's where his shortcomings are. Here's what management sees in him. Here's what they're going to do to try to get him over. And it's not exactly the same with Theory, but there are some similarities. They really do see Theory as a guy who has that look. And I know people sort of have, I think, a caricature of him as this sort of immature, like, youthful indiscretion troublemaker or worse. But, you know, what I hear about him is very positive in terms of his work ethic and his attitude, his desire to learn. Not everybody has this. He really aspires to put in the work to be a big-time star in this company. And people like Paul Levesque really, really like that. And so having him cross paths with Cena 18 years after Cena was kind of going through the same thing, I think it's a great storyline. It does seem like that's a lock, and it feels like a top-tier WrestleMania match. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, you and I have been making the Theory-Cena comparison for quite a while, and we've been suspecting that this would be the Mania match between the two of them, so here we are. I hope Cena brings up the kinds of things that you said in a promo at some point. And even though I would have had the Logan Paul interference against Seth Rollins happened earlier in the chamber, so Austin Theory could get a more convincing and heat-drawing win over the exhausted and injured Montez Ford. Other than that little detail, I am just loving the year Austin Theory is having, and I can't wait to see how the rest of it pans out. Even just main eventing Raw, I think the entrances started at 9:29.
Yeah.
Main eventing Raw against Edge is such a cool moment for him.
In Canada, yeah. Then does anyone really care about Mustafa Ali and Dolph Ziggler? No. Dolph Ziggler, stop doing the hip swivel on the ring apron going into a commercial break. My God. Like, he's just so, I don't know, just between his promos and his character, his character just is so stale. Jason Paul wrote this in his Raw report over at ProSing.net tonight too. Like, he needs a reboot, and he just seems completely unaware that he needs a reboot. And Ali has – I was high on Ali, and I'm less high on him now because of how he's come across. I do not think this is where they wanted to land. Tom, I want to get your take on that. I don't think they intended for Ali to end up being the whiny heel. I just think he sounded like he was whiny, and they decided we got to go with it, and they turned him heel. I don't know for sure either way. I haven't asked anybody who might know, but does anyone – do you care about Ali and Ziggler, and what do you think about my critique or criticism? I'll go so far as to say that was criticism of both.
Yeah, I'll keep it very brief on Ali and say that I agree with your analysis of that situation. And I said earlier that when the graphic was on the screen for Ziggler versus Ali, I didn't even think the bell was going to ring. I thought they were going to – it's like when at a recent NXT house show, two guys who haven't even had a match in front of a crowd yet came out. The crowd, they aren't even introduced by name. It was Rixon Opont and Skylar Clinton, because I do bonus point and I know, but it was like, okay, no, this match is not going to happen. This match is designed for somebody else to interfere. And sure enough, Grayson Waller came out and it turned into an altercation with Tyler Bate. So this is what that felt like. And then it didn't happen, but it is specifically regarding Ziggler. It's broken record at this point. I can't believe he's not just a backstage producer. When his entrance music hit, my partner was in the room, and I chose not to say anything, and I chose to wait to see if she was going to say it, and I waited, and I waited, and then finally she said, oh, he's still there?
Yeah.
Yep, sure enough.
Yep. All right. I'm bummed out about Ali being coming across the way he is, but okay. Next, he says Cody's flat reaction, or Cody's reaction flat? Yeah, I mean, Tom, are you concerned? Do you think Cody will be fine? Where are you on this?
I think Cody will be fine. I think the concern is if he wins or honestly, even if he doesn't. And I'm not convinced either way. I think there are great reasons why Cody should win. I think there are great reasons why Roman should retain. So very intrigued at what that finish is going to be. But coming out of Mania, it's, you know, I agree with you that investing, showing that he is, you know, that he is going to be positioned as the huge star as he carries himself as. So there's not that echo or that dull roar of, oh, he was always just a mid-carder. You know, what are they doing? I feel like that is important. But I do not know the answer to the question with Cody, is the money in the championship or is the money in the chase? And so often the money is in the chase. And this particular chase hasn't really heated up yet. So, I mean, yes, the crowd reaction could have been better tonight, but I'm not sounding the alarm yet. I still, although, you know, the issues that I pointed out earlier exist and are mostly on the Sammy side of things. I think the next 5 weeks of TV will be really, to say the least, interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But, people still like saying the whoa in his music.
Then he says, Heyman is an amazing promo and he sells like no other. Yeah. I mean, Heyman's great. I don't think this was, you know, top tier for him, but you can be not top tier and still be amazing and excellent. Any just thoughts on what Heyman did tonight?
Nothing further. He's brilliant.
He says, all my doubts about the main event with Cody and Roman are slipping away. So even with Cody's flat reaction, question mark, a couple points earlier, he is on board with it. To me, this is fresh and fascinating, you know, from a standpoint of how I observe and analyze and cover wrestling. I'm just fascinated with how Cody does here. You know, I mean, with the story of what happened to him in AEW, his past in WWE, his family history, just who Cody is against this, being dropped into a storyline with this polished top talent and group in Roman and the Bloodline, and how he does. There's no excuse. You know what I mean? There's like, Roman's being heelish, so it's not like they're doing anything to sabotage Cody unintentionally or intentionally. Roman is working hard to get booed. Heyman's doing classical heel manager stuff. Cody has no excuse but to be cheered. And if he isn't, unless he does not have autonomy in what he says, it's going to be on him. You know, it's going to be a rejection of him. And I don't think WWE fans are going to reject him. The key is can he go from the safe lily pad of I'm not being rejected, which would have been an improvement on his AEW run, to the next level, which is really mega over as a babyface, like where he's getting the biggest pop, like he did at All In, you know, and he did in the early days of AEW. Can that happen? Well, that's up to Cody, and it's also just up to the fans and how they feel about Cody. So I'm just fascinated by this next month or so to see what happens, because he's an interesting figure, been around a long time. I'm just going to sit back and watch sort of what will be. And I'm going to be fascinated to see it play out. Okay. He also says, I think Asuka will beat Bianca. Tom, are you objective enough to answer that?
I do think that Asuka will beat Bianca. Bianca, no matter who Bianca's opponent would be at WrestleMania, she is going to lose the championship here. It's time to move her on to a different phase. And my guess is that I am expecting Becky and Bayley to be added to the match. Even if that happens, though, I think Asuka still wins.
So you don't see Becky and Bayley defending the tag titles at Mania. Do you think they'll be champs by then?
I think this tag team situation is the stepping stone to get them into the Fatal 4-Way.
Okay.
I don't know what the connecting thread is. Lita feels very much like a guest player who, I don't know, isn't really significant here. Maybe I'm not thinking about it deeply enough. I don't think there's enough in the even with 5 weeks to go, I don't think there's enough going for Asuka and Bianca, and you can't have Becky not on the card. Bayley has missed the last three WrestleManias, if you include the 2021 being worked in front of in the PC with no crowd. So you would think that they want to get her on the card. I don't know. Yeah, I'm thinking about it logistically, and I just think that they get added to that match.
All right. We're getting near the end here of Kevin's points to ponder or react to. Seth's character is the most interesting it's been in years. Tom, your thoughts, and also your thoughts on them replaying the Joker movie scene and then Becky showing up with a funny voice doing Batman.
I like that skit better than I like that Todd Phillips Joker movie. I can say that at least. I think that movie's so rotten, but that's just purely subjective and coming from an admitted movie snob. But if you were going to do this with any character on the roster, Seth is the one to do it with, and having Becky show up as the man, Batman, I thought was a humorous touch. And then when it ended the first time, it was like, oh, that was it? That kind of fell flat. Seeing it a second time with lowered expectations, I enjoyed it more. So for whatever that's worth, I guess that's backhanded, but I did like it more seeing it a second time. Seth's character being more interesting than ever, absolutely not. He was the most interesting in 2015 when he turned on the Shield and was brought into the not the McMahon-Helmsley era or the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
The Authority. He was the most interesting then. And I think for years now, every time I look at Seth, I'm like, man, at one point I called him my favorite current wrestler, and he sure is still there, isn't he? Which sounds meaner than I intend it to be. I still like Seth and always want him to rise back to being more significant. But he's just kind of there. And that's
yeah.
Seth.
I mean, to me, he's got this weird laugh. He was a heel character who wrestled like a babyface. He couldn't resist getting his spots in. That was his rep going back to NXT. He had to, people had to talk to him, about you're a heel. Stop doing babyface high spots. He's, I got to get my spots in. And so that's his approach. But you know what? I'm just like, I don't even know what his character is. I don't think he knows what his character is. But it's something more than, when I was on the Steve Austin show on a regular basis and he was on this show on a regular basis. And, we'd talk about that. I don't know what is Seth freaking Rollins? What is it? What would anyone say if they were explaining a character to a new fan? And back in the day, you couldn't say anything. And now, I mean, I still don't know what you would say, and I don't think the answers would be consistent. But he's interesting. Interesting, such a word because it's so broad in general. But, he just does his thing, and he's outlandish. And I'm still not quite – I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I really do. I cannot deny that people like singing a song and are cheering for him, and he's really into what he's doing, and you can't escape that laugh. Like, that's just the thing is something you just might as well lean into instead of run from it. And so, I don't know. It's fine.
That's
it's
a
not,
good point.
It's not top character. But he was always struggling to figure out what his voice and his character was. And this is a landing place that works for now. We'll see if it lasts.
Yeah.
Omos versus Lesnar, is that match even remotely intriguing? Yes, because will it go 4 minutes? And does Omos get squashed? Or do they actually try to use, even if Lesnar wins, try to use Lesnar to give Omos a little boost by surviving an F5 and kicking out? Or, you know, whatever they plan. I'm intrigued by, is Omos just a pin to be knocked down by Lesnar? Or, and that's assuming they do the match at Mania. You know, Lesnar hasn't accepted yet. Stay tuned, everybody, next week. If the bar is the match even remotely intriguing, it surpasses that bar for me, Tom.
Oh, boy, yeah. I mean, sure it does, for reasons previously stated. One of my favorite things about Brock Lesnar is that when it is time to give back, he will sell his ass off for you. Now, you have to shove his shoulder into the ring post first. That's always the spot that starts it. But if we get that spot and the selling his ass off for Omos's kick and clothesline, I will be surprised.
Yeah. All right. Otis and Bronson Reed. I say bring it on. That can be fun. I think Bronson Reed's a babyface. I think he's a badass Samoa Joe babyface type character, for lack of a better example. What do you think, Tom? I mean, obviously, you know, he aligned with Miz, but then sort of rejected Miz. Otis is lovable, but Gable and Otis are officially, I don't know, on their way to being beloved characters. So, I mean, I don't know. I think both characters are sort of pliable right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if in 6 or 12 weeks they end up in a different spot with each of them than they currently are imagining. What do you think of Otis and Reed in a feud, and where do you think their characters stand now and are headed?
Yeah, the Alpha Academy seems to be in a state of flux right now, semi-sympathetic, being taken advantage of by an aloof undercard heel team. I think I agree about Bronson. I guess I don't really have a read on that. Oh, I don't have a read on that. But I'm just gonna repeat myself from when I was on a couple weeks ago. I am so damn impressed with him right now. I was very down on his NXT run, but he has really found something, and I think he is absolutely must watch. He's just a cannonball out there. There's one thing he did tonight. I forget whether it was to Gable or Otis. He just like comes off of the apron. I don't even want to say jumps off of the apron or leaps off. His body just moved forth off of the apron and just was going to take out whatever was in front of him. And it was fantastic. I'm very, I feel bad saying it because he's a nice gentleman, but I really was down on his NXT run, and I was not surprised at all that it did not translate to a main roster opportunity. And it's just like, it's almost like watching a completely different guy now. I think he's great.
Yeah, sometimes excursions help, even if they're not supposed to be. We hit his final point. Bronson Reed is looking strong. Main event potential. Main event potential, Tom.
Hey, there you go. I mean, let's cool it a little bit. Underline the word potential.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We will. The emails are hinting topics I wanted to cover, so that's good. Let me go to Zach in Texas here. He goes, gentlemen, I'm pretty much out on WrestleMania after Sami Zayn was beaten and humiliated in front of his wife and hometown fans on Saturday. I have no desire to watch Ray try to get a passable match out of Dom. Zach is just will not give Dom anything. out of Dom. Well, Dom does the worst 619 ever attempted. By the way, a wrestler told me Dom had to do it left-handed because Ray did it right-handed. And so Dom's 619s, if he does do them separate from Ray, not in tandem with him, might be better. I don't know. We'll see. Dom does worst 619 ever attempted, and I don't want to see Logan Paul play wrestler again or see John Cena come back just to job to Austin Theory. Most especially, I don't care to see WWE force. They're perfectly polished. Feels like he was focus grouped to death, corporate dream babyface, down the throat of an audience that was fully and organically behind Sami Zayn. To add insult to injury, not only did they reunite Sami and KO to try to alleviate some of the heat, but they stuck Sami in a match with a guy who was called a turd on TV a couple weeks ago. Unreal. The only thing that really interests me is the potential of the three greatest women wrestlers in WWE history against Damage Control, so I'll be confining my Raw viewing to that storyline. And now I'm concerned that Becky and Lita are just going to win the tag titles, and Ronda's going to Hogan her way into getting her win back at Mania. Ugh. So, Zach, down on WWE. Do you agree with his framing of Cody as a perfectly polished, focus grouped to death corporate dream babyface?
No, I think Cody is something of a risk, considering, I mean, just the if Cody was all those words that Zach used, then they would be shying away from his tattoo. They would be scripting his promos. They would be telling him not to keep on mentioning that he was elsewhere, or however he keeps phrasing mm-hmm. it. No, WWE has gone all in on the Cody Rhodes that Cody Rhodes himself has brought to the table, rather than trying to turn him into something different. And if he comes off the way he comes off, then that's purely Cody.
I disagree with Zach, because I think Cody is, your last words, purely Cody. This is not a focus. Cody might live his life portraying himself publicly in a way that he thinks would do well in a focus group. But this is, you know, this is who Cody is. Like, this isn't taking somebody who could be something else. Like, this is authentic Cody. This is Cody when no one's watching. You know, this is not someone showing up going, oh, you want me to act that way in order to maximize my marketing. That's the way Cody lives his life. And I think, but I don't think he has to adjust to who he is in order to do it. So I disagree with that. And come on, Sammy beat Baron Corbin in a TV match. That's all it was. It's just giving Sammy a win. It's not like, who would be upset by that? You just, Corbin's a mid-level, upper mid-level heel, and Sammy beat him. Like, that's how you fill 52 weeks of TV a year and give feel-good wins. That's not something to be angry about. Like, I don't know. I don't get his take there.
And any offense that Corbin got was contextualized through commentary, regarding the war that Sammy had just been through two nights prior.
And then, to complain that KO and Sammy weren't reunited. It's like, that would be so inauthentic of KO to just be like, oh, forgiven, love you. Let's go on a journey here, Zach. Allow for that. Okay. Justin says, hey guys, some of my thoughts on Raw. We might have some more dull Raws until we get closer to WrestleMania. Tonight really dragged and didn't feel like they put their best foot forward coming off of what a lot of people thought was a hot premium live event. I do agree with that assessment that overall that this was a show that dragged and did feel like the best foot forward coming off the pay-per-view or PLE.
I do not hard disagree with the point, because as we discussed, especially with the Cody segment, it could have been stronger, but it felt like a major Raw that had key developments on the road to WrestleMania that you wouldn't have wanted to miss. I'm glad that I tuned into it. You know, it felt like good television to me, apart from the Ziggler-Ali match.
Yep. Number two, by the time we get to WrestleMania, someone will be added to the Raw Women's title match. In my opinion, not a great start to the feud. Bianca randomly comes out after the bell rings and sits over by the commentary table but doesn't speak. Why not have the champion speak? Does WWE not trust her to talk if it's not a completely scripted promo? And then after the Asuka match, Asuka spits some blue stuff out of her mouth. We're going to need a whole hell of a lot more story and a reason to care, and not just, they're going to have a great match, so we really don't need a compelling story. What do you think of what they did with Asuka and the blue stuff, like her practically choking on her own slime, whatever that was supposed to be?
Yeah, when it happened, I thought, oh no, I hope Wade doesn't ask me about that, because my answer is just going to be the same thing I always say about Asuka. It just seems like her sense of humor. It just seems like her being her. I doubt that anybody told her to make it seem like she was spitting it up, and she probably just added that because she thinks it's funny. But they're just leaning into all of this Kana stuff right now, and it does make her feel fresh and more significant.
Yep.
But there really isn't anything to this rivalry right now. You can't even really call it a rivalry right now. That's why, you know, even though it sounded like I was having a hard time convincing myself of it earlier, I really do think that Bayley and Becky get added to this one.
Okay. Hector from Chicago says, I enjoyed Raw overall. Miz must be hosting WrestleMania, right? That's my guess for what the letter said.
Yep.
Someone else speculated that that's how Maryse told Miz she's pregnant with her next kid, and that's going to be announced next week. If you want heel heat, as Cody learned, do a gender reveal segment. We can get a gender reveal segment on Raw with Miz and Maryse. That still was the turning point for Cody, and there was no going back. I mean, seriously, Cody and Brandy, what were you thinking? Okay, so by the way, any chance of that, or someone speculated on that, or you think no, it's just Maryse? Because what does Maryse get news before Miz about hosting, or like how could she as a anniversary gift give him the job of hosting Mania? I'm not sure that fits.
She probably made it talked to Adam Pearson, made it happen, or talked to whoever they're going to say that she talks to. That was my thought as well, because Miz doesn't have an obvious match, and it. I mean, they're going to be in Hollywood. I know he's a heel. I don't know if we've had a heel. What was Alexa when she? I don't know. It's like he'll show up twice and barely do anything. That's what the host does, or rather, does not do. But I will say that I loved the backstage segment between the two of them. I thought it was highly amusing. And if we're going to get more of that with him just eating up the opportunity to host WrestleMania Returns to Hollywood, it should be quite amusing.
Some people just be relieved they don't have to sit through a Miz match. Although he got a decent amount of back and forth with Seth, you know, I mean, if you're, this was, you know, a respectable showing by Miz in the ring, you know, against a top guy like Seth.
Yeah. I have a ton of respect for a guy who works safe and works in a way that is effective psychologically for the crowd. You know, and if we're going to heap praise upon LA Knight, which we have been doing lately, we have to acknowledge the fact that his wrestling style is basically the Miz. So, Baron Corbin, again, just an extremely safe worker, not particularly exciting, but that kind of guy is always going to have a role on the roster.
It's a bit of a dated reference, but Miz is to pro wrestling as USA Today was to newspapers. Just, you know, rounded corners, short articles, bullet points at the beginning in case you don't want to read. We, you know, no big words, but, you know, enough to be a welcome update when you open your hotel room door in the morning. It colorful, but not super, super deep.
So who was the New York Post?
That's awful. It would be such a nerdy podcast to do, but like which wrestlers relate to which newspapers and magazines from the 80s and 90s and 2000s? Like do a whole thing. Who's the Reader's Digest? Who's the Economist? Who's the New Republic? Anyway, I'm going back to my college years when I subscribed to so many publications and post-college years and just devoured as much as I could in print journalism. All right. Not sure. This is Phil Hector. I'm not sure I'm up for Omos versus Lesnar. I'd take Gunther versus Brock, though, please. Yes, just come on. Don't. The banana's still green. It's going to be better if you wait. All right. I enjoyed Kevin Owens' reasoning for what he did. It'll be more awesome when they finally get on the same page, sort of like with Seth and Moxley a few years back. I think that is on my thinking here. And do you think Lashley versus Bray is coming, or is it going to go a different route and was never really going to go that route with Bray and one of those two men? What do you think, Tom? Is Lashley Bray, does that work for you? I mean, Lashley dropped his name in the promo, and again, it feels a little semi-random, you know, for him to just go like act like Bray is past tense when it was really never even present tense.
Yeah, it feels random. And like even when Bray said what he said on SmackDown, I had a sneaking suspicion that that was a real possibility. Even if, you know, what you're suspecting about Brock's reaction to that may be true. I would be lying if I said the Moxley thing did not cross through my mind as well. But boy, Lashley and Wyatt are just, neither character is working for me right now at all, like on any level. And I hate saying that about Wyatt in particular. Even Lashley, I thought, was working as recently as SummerSlam. And it's like they're big enough stars that you don't want to leave them off a two-night extravaganza. But
yeah.
I don't know what the story is.
I don't either. Do you agree Lashley's character has just been so scattershot the past year plus?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be fully in favor of just MVP starts showing up with him again, and we don't really question as to why, because it'll be an improvement.
All right, final email we'll get to here, and then we'll wrap up. JB from Detroit says, by the way, thanks for everyone come through on some good emails, different perspectives, and some topics we might not have covered, if not for you guys. So thank you. The flagship tomorrow, add to it, Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. Get your questions in by early Tuesday afternoon to make it in time for the Jason Paul flagship. JB from Detroit, at the beginning of Paul Heyman's promo tonight, I'm starting to worry that creative might be trying to do a little too much with the Cody Roman story going into WrestleMania. Then after thinking about it, I realized that the Heyman promo from 2 weeks up, I thought of the Heyman promo from 2 weeks ago and tonight, and they were both about family. The origin of the story was that Cody is on a mission to win a title that his father never won, and this is a very simple, strong, relatable story. Then 2 weeks ago, Paul Heyman tied this mission statement from Cody into the Dusty Roman relationship from NXT, and this was good. And now this week, Heyman starts talking about how Cody doesn't actually want to be champion because it would take him on the road too much and away from his wife and child, like Dusty was so often away from him and his brother. I still think they need to be careful with pulling at too many edges of the story, but what we've gotten so far is pretty good. Tom, anything to say to that framing of kind of I think that is their game plan. Okay, I'll just say this. I don't think fans are sitting here going, I really want to root for Cody because Paul Heyman pointed out that if Cody wins a championship, he'll be an absentee father. Because, A, I don't think people think Roman's schedule is that tough. And Roman is a dad who's been a world champion. And, I mean, I don't want to sound crass, but I just don't think a lot of wrestling fans are watching TV going, when you're a mega TV star with a chance to become a world champion and build a legendary, be a public figure who reaches the pinnacle of your chosen profession and thus becomes much more successful, more of a legend, earns a lot more money. I don't think they're also thinking, but what about being at home for the kids? Like that's a real life thing, but I don't think it works for an audience getting emotionally invested in a match, because now you're basically cheering for the people who you think would be good dads to lose and the ones who you think are better off away from the house winning. So it's a weird thing to inject into a storyline. I know the psychology is Heyman's just trying to take Cody off his game a little and make him second guess whether he really wants this because he really wants it. Heyman's trying to soften that, and it's a strategy to get in Cody's head. And I get that, but I don't think you can take away the big picture, which is you're basically telling fans, yeah, when you pay money to see Cody Rhodes, you're screwing his kids over.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing Heyman has ever said, but I think the appeal to the fans of somebody who is willing to make such sacrifices for success in their passion is stronger, and that'll be more at the forefront of, maybe not even the forefront, but more at the forefront of the mind than the negative aspects of it. It's the kind of thing that, like with the Roman was the son Dusty never had line, Heyman can get away with it because we know he's the conniving heel that's just trying to get Cody off his game, like you said. I think regardless of what shape this story takes moving forward, so far the ingredients are solid. I really like the reclamation of the title in honor of his father angle, and I just think no matter what shape it takes over the next 5 weeks, there's going to be an absolutely incredible video package before the entrances. The entrances are going to feel just utterly massive. Michael Cole is going to nail them with historical context, and the air is going to feel so thick when that bell rings and they're staring across from one another and the lights go down. It's like, even if we have a disaster of a go-home SmackDown and they do the, like, worst-case scenario, the tug-of-war of the belt between Brock and Roman that was just awful, I still think that moment on night two of WrestleMania is just going to feel utterly massive. And boy, I hope there's footage somewhere of Dusty and Roman when he was, I believe it's pronounced Laocky, but I've never heard it pronounced before, so I'm guessing at that, from FCW. I mean, yes, there was Roman was the thoroughbred for like three episodes of NXT before going up with the Shield. And boy, you, the star power is palpable from the start. I remember when I had actually never
power.
Seen those.
The heel star power.
Right. He roughed up Byron Saxton a little bit in those appearances. Roman's one NXT feud was with Byron Saxton. I had actually never seen those particular episodes before, and I was expecting, because of what we know about Roman Reigns' botched babyface run, a forced babyface run for a few years there post-Shield. He really translated well in the Shield when most of what he did was stand on the apron and yell. But I was expecting to go back with Kelly Wells and be like, oh, man, yeah, he just wasn't there yet. But on the contrary, when he's cast correctly, right from the beginning, it's just like, wow, this guy is an undeniable star. Mm-hmm. And it just took them years to find that again. But, man, if there's some backstage, just one shot of Dusty smiling affectionately the way that, you know, I say that and you can just picture what he looked like. You know, just smiling affectionately, glasses, you know, down, thin glasses down on his nose, looking at Roman. Boy, that would be an excellent addition to that little video package.
It's the number two. I just really don't get the Seth Rollins character. To me, he's a zany goof that goes from being ridiculous one moment to slightly serious the next. Nowhere near a main event act, in my opinion. That is the criticism, no question. I just don't know what the other option is for him. I just don't know if he comes across as a serious person, even when he tries. I keep hearing that he is over, but to me it just seems like people are humming along to his fun song. People aren't actually invested in whether he wins or loses. Is that a fair framing of the negative perspective on Seth's current character?
I think that tracks, and I've been fairly mean to Seth Rollins on tonight's podcast, but at least this is better than the Messiah.
Yes, whatever that was. He said, I'm assuming the Omos match next week is the gateway for the Lesnar-Lashley rematch at WrestleMania. The question is, how do they add any zest to this match that we've seen four times in a year and a few months by that point? Do they add a stipulation? Is it a tag match of some sort in which the Hurt Business is included? Well, first, they're not doing Omos versus Lesnar next week. It's just Lesnar's going to answer the challenge. I think maybe they were intentionally ambiguous to deceive people, but he's just saying, I think Lesnar's showing up next week to go yes or no. Like, no, you're not worth my time, or yes, I am looking for a new challenge, or who knows what. That's my take on it. I think that's what was going on there. And I don't want to see Lesnar Lashley again. That finish at Elimination Chamber was awful and insulting, and I think it hurts Brock Lesnar's stock that he used a low blow, and he shouldn't show his face. I mean, if this were, you know, real life, he shouldn't show his face on WWE TV because he took away from the fans a chance to have an actual finish. He took a cheap way out of a bad situation. And, I mean, that's just like, it's like a basketball team being down, you know, 30 points with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and just walking off the court. It's like, no, stay to the end and see it through. And he didn't. So his character just has lost so much for me. And I think the fans too. So anyway, but I'm not ruling out that we don't see Lesnar versus Omos at WrestleMania. This is a red herring, and we get to like Lesnar and Lashley against Bray and Uncle Howdy. Some people have speculated that. But I think the most likely scenario now is Lesnar Omos and then Lashley against Bray, however they get to that. Tom.
I guess the graphic they showed tonight was promoting, because we got a graphic of Lesnar and Omos on the screen. I guess it was promoting next week's appearance. I was thinking that it was a WrestleMania thing, and when they show that graphic, even though they did with Asuka and Bianca, and I think the match might change, if they showed the graphic, if they went to the effort of creating it and promoting it, then you know it's set in stone. But I get maybe I was reading that wrong, and it was just to promote the response next week. Yeah, I guess there is a little bit of wiggle here. Yeah, I'm not particularly intrigued with any path. On one hand, I want to say that the Lashley Lesnar storyline has not come to a satisfying conclusion. Elimination Chamber always felt like it was just going to be a connecting thread to a gimmick match at WrestleMania, so maybe we are still headed that way. And because that story is not finished, I would be in favor of that match being booked. But also, I mean, you've got to have Lesnar win, right? Because even though that probably at this point is damaging enough to Lashley, what more are you going to get out of Lashley at this point? And if you, I don't think it would be worth giving using a Lesnar loss on Lashley. I'm hung up on where the story goes, but I do think that if they were able to veer it back toward, or if the idea all along, and we're getting caught up in the murk of the Omos and the Wyatt stuff, if the idea all along is to go to a proper blow-off match at Mania, like I thought they were headed to pre-elimination chamber, I personally feel like that's a better circumstance for all involved, even though it's still not ideal.
It still feels weird to me when I hear Rhea Ripley talking about defeating Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title on Raw. I'm okay. Whether they have a brand split or don't have a brand split, but pick one and go with it. They still have separate roster pages on their website. There's absolutely zero structure to it as to who can appear on what show and when they can do it and who they can do it and who they can do it to. It feels lazy by not explaining it whatsoever. What do you think of the state of the roster split? I mean, I think having Rhea have a choice of who to challenge, someone on the other brand, gives an excuse for, you know, Dominic to follow her over there and torment and, you know, go after his dad a little bit. The Usos were tag champs. They defended on both shows, so that meant Solo was sometimes there, and so they had him wrestle. It's loose, but it's not, like, totally random. I'm trying to think of an instance where it was completely random, you know, where someone showed up and there wasn't, like, some sort of, you know, reason for it that looked like it was a reasonable exception. I mean, there's enough crossing over. I've lost track a little bit of some of the talent, but, you know, memorize it, but it still feels like a pretty legit roster split to me. Tom?
Yeah, I think I echo all of your sentiments. I'm totally fine with if it makes sense for the storyline to, or for what you're trying to accomplish to cross people over, don't limit yourself to it, but also don't abuse that. And I do feel like that's the situation that they're in, that they are not abusing it, but it has made sense every time thus far to effectively forward what they're trying to forward. The brand split since, what was it, 2003 when they first started it? It's gone through many different incarnations of being there, not being there, slowly fading away, having the, you know, whatever convoluted way they said, like, oh, well, four times a year we can have different appearances. And I don't think they ever really, I was keeping track for a while and I don't even remember what my results were before I gave up.
Yeah.
But I think they stuck to it pretty well, and then they started making exceptions, and then it was just like, okay, yeah, they this is not working. But yeah, that's just a long way of saying that I agree with you that it's not something that I'm currently getting hung up on as a rule that they should be sticking to better, because I feel that the ways that they've approached it thus far have been perfectly suitable.
Yeah, and it's not like wrestlers are just showing up to the other show to fill out a main event because they can't come up with something on their own, you know, show roster. That has happened before. That's not happening now. So, I mean, it's not egregious to me. I mean, you know, what's Sammy doing there tonight? You know, but, you know, if Cody just starts, if you're facing a dual champion, I mean, Cody can be on both shows. I mean, I'm fine with that too, but someone maybe can come up with an example where someone just arbitrarily showed up at the other show and there was no lip service paid to why, or it was super, super flimsy, but I'm just not recalling it. So anyway, I mean, I we can wrap up here. Tom, is there anything else from Raw that you want to bring up?
I'm wondering if the members of Sanity, or at least some of them, or maybe just Killian Dane, since he's married to Nikki Cross, I'm wondering if they are returning, since Nikki now has a new theme reminiscent of Sanity, and she says that she's lost all of her friends. So I wonder if those are going to be the new rehires, and, I think Killian Dayton's fantastic. So that would be cool. And, you know, credit where it's due. Is that how I want to introduce this? I don't know. I've said over and over and over again how throughout the years I have found Finn Balor to be a very boring wrestler, and I am not a Finn Balor fan. If we are headed toward still more, I mean, you know, the match tonight ended exactly like we all thought it was going to. If we are headed towards still more Edge versus Judgment Day, and we're getting Edge versus probably Finn at WrestleMania, Finn has done a very good job of coming off as really unlikable. Like when I see him, I feel like I am disliking him for the reasons that he is trying to make me dislike him, not just because I'm like, oh, it's the guy who wrestles the exact same match every single time, and it really bores me. So effective heel stuff, and I feel like me making my predictions as I am wont to do, even though he's a heel right now, if memory serves, we have still never gotten the Demon Balor entrance at WrestleMania. And if Edge is so determined to spend this part of his career getting over fresher talent, even though I would argue that Finn is not fresh at this point, but still, then it seems to me like one of his things might be, hey, you know what? Let's have the freaking Demon at WrestleMania finally. Let's do that. So when the question of why still Judgment Day, why Finn, why is that Edge's match here, that's my answer, is that maybe we will finally get the Demon entrance.
All right. Very good. Well, wrap up there. I know some of you called up Push One very late, but I just was on a roll with emails. And call in sooner so we don't get carried away with the mailbag, or just transfer your questions to email for the flagship tomorrow. Tom, great having you on. We had a lot to talk about, and thanks to our on-site correspondents and our emailers, I think we hit everything along with our own steering of things. So
thanks, Wade. The timing worked out nicely. I was bursting with wanting to keep on the Sami Zayn situation. So when the tweet came in, or when the DM came in, I was like, okay, good. There's a venue for my vent. And along with checking out the VIP shows, I do hope that at least a few people out there glance at Speedway Video on YouTube. A ton of work goes into it. And particularly this most recent highlight reel, the day 9 highlight reel with a Petron logo in the corner on the thumbnail. I think I did a really, really fantastic job with it. So check that out.
Awesome. Glad you got that in at the end. So as people are finishing up this show, go over to YouTube and check that out. All right, Tom, thanks. We'll hear from you and talk with you soon.
Thanks, Wade.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody else, for listening and everyone who contributed.